Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I had to go about it, write it out, and find it myself. And there's some stories I can tell you. I had to fail, had to fall.
It's a Final Word Daily. Adam Collins with you in London. Cam Ponsonby at Rajkot, where it was all happening today. He's with me. Third test match of the India-England series for Westfield London. Westfield Stratford City, more extra, less ordinary. The middle day of the series, Cam, it was an eventful one. Tell us about it in 30 seconds.
Bring back Mukesh Kumar, bring back Shreyas Iyer. These guys are too good. Jaiswal's too good. Mohammad Siraj is too good. They blow England away. England lose 8-95 to collapse in a heap in the middle session before Jaiswal smokes a second century of the series to leave India 322 ahead at the close. They've got 8 wickets left in hand. There's been many Ben Stokes and many England miracles in the past, but it was India's day. It's India's match.
So much to get into here, Cam. Should we go right to the nub of it, the 8-95 collapse, which is actually worse than that when you go through the rhythm of how it played out. It started with Joe Root falling for 18, caught at second slip, reverse ramping Jasprit Bumrah, which is going to be the focal point, right? There's always one dismissal that typifies a collapse, and Root's is going to be that on this occasion. Why don't you go first? You were there. How did you take the whole thing in?
So I reckon we might disagree on this. I don't mind Root's dismissal. In terms of the context of the collapse, I think he's a man out of form who's had a lot of success with that shot. Now, that's not to say I don't appreciate and understand the opinion of people who disagree with him playing it. I just think there's a valid opinion where if you don't want him to play this shot, you think he doesn't need to as a whole, as an entity. Say you're a class player, you don't need to add this added risk to your game. I don't think it's fair to say in this instance, it was the wrong time to play the shot, because in that, when you go down that rabbit hole, and I've had this argument on debate with lots of colleagues in the box today, when you go down that rabbit hole, whenever is it right to play the shot? Is it right to play up the first ball of the Ashes, of a day in the Ashes? Of course it isn't. What a stupid thing to do. Is it the right thing to do the fourth ball of the day in New Zealand? Of course it isn't. What a stupid thing to do. Here, you've got a man who, in the first hour in Rajkot, is when it's a bit damp, it's the most dangerous time to bat. He's already said many a time the time he uses this shot is when he wants to remove slips from play. It's when he wants to take that threat of being nicked off out of play. If I can get one over the slip cord and they drop a third man back. He also says that it's very unlikely. A lot of things have to go wrong for him to be out. And today, he's kind of scuffed it, but he's also lasered it into second slip's chest, basically. It's a hell of a catch by Jaiswal. Mm. But I'm sure we'll go have a back and forth about that, but I'm more than happy to concede the kind of waterfall of shit that emitted from it afterwards and the kind of England collapse that therefore then followed. Yes, in that light, it is a pretty bad moment because it just led to one more mistake after another after another. England, they have this mantra. They live by the sword. They die by the sword. Today, they died by a thousand cuts. Hey, that sounds terrible. I'd like to see that written down if it's a good sentence or not.
So, look, we do disagree because I think that with
perfect.
The way that McCullum and Stokes have changed the way or changed England's fortunes in the last couple of years, there's been more nuance to it and more thinking to it than some would have. I get this criticism of it. There's strident criticism of it in certain parts of the world. And I don't know. I don't want to go into that right now. But on days like today, that stacks up, that kind of criticism where it doesn't look like it's thinking cricket, where they do see the advantage. And Root, player out of form, up against Jasprit Bumrah, not a great matchup in terms of the test match he had at Vizag last week. And I think the why it's most, why it stands out so much is they were having the perfect first half an hour. After Ashwin had to pull out of the test match overnight, and of course their dreadful circumstances, we wish it wasn't the case, England had the chance to press home the advantage, and they were doing it in a really efficient way by sucking oxygen out of the game. There were all the comparisons online, and fair enough too, to what happened at Lord's last year, where England collapsed from 188 for one to be 325 all out. Today they were 224 for two to be 319 all out. There's a step further where Norcross has gone into, where the point Ollie Pope was dismissed in both innings. It was 188 at Lord's and 182 yesterday at Rajcott, and they were dismissed for 416 and 445 respectively. What happened after Lord's was that they doubled down on the rhetoric, saying, it doesn't matter, we all fell into the leg side trap, but that's just the way things work, we'll hit the next one into the stands and so on. But it didn't really play out that way. You looked at the lived experience, they weren't boshing sixes for the most part through Leeds and Manchester and the Oval. They were playing in a more calculated fashion. They were willing to absorb pressure at different points of time, and I think that was what was more called for today. And Root could have been more of a damage doing that and playing, air quotes, his traditional way, so the pre-Bazball way, alongside Ben Duckett, who was absolutely flying. So this is a day for those who have never really believed in this, who always thought that it was going to be undone by better opposition. I don't know whether that stacks up either. This has been an innovative way of creating more options for England to win. The most galling part from an England perspective was this was their best opportunity, right? Ashwin missing, as we've mentioned before, on a track that is easier to bat on. It'll probably be the easiest surface to bat on for the whole series. India, at any point they choose, can pull the lever to shit heaps. We know that. It's an easy thing to do. Preparing a track that'll rag from minute one to become a lottery. At 2-1 up, with all the momentum, why wouldn't they do that next week or the week after? And then England will be in a real world of pain. So this was the moment, and they weren't able to seize it. It's not just Joe Root, but that does stand out on the basis of what was happening after the resumption this morning, I reckon.
Okay, but to counter that, I'd say Ashwin's out. This is England's opportunity. This is England's opportunity whilst they're still 250 runs behind, bear in mind. Like they've got to do a lot of things well to get in front of this game still. Yeah. If you have your opposition with their premier bowler out, you come into this morning, who's their biggest danger? Who's India's biggest danger to you? Bumrah. If you can then take him on, remove his attacking options in that slip, then that's, if anything, you could argue that that's their thought process, that that's our best way to hammering home this advantage. We nullify their biggest strike weapon, we can then milk the rest. Jadeja wasn't being particularly fit as well either. He didn't bowl for quite a long time. He was out on the boundary Z. That, I think, is consistent with their line of thinking. I go back to the same thing. If you don't think Joe Root should be playing the shot at all in Red Bull cricket, fine, whatever. I actually think when you go through the dismissals, it's a series of, like, it's cock-up cricket in that Joe Root kind of mis-executes a shot. He's in bad form. I kind of got the impression he was like a tennis player trying to like whack his way back into form. I just need to find something. Get me going. Right. He'd earlier run down the track at Bumrah. Like he's trying to tick himself into gear. He's got a high score of 29 this series. Duckett, worst ball of the day, having played the innings of his life, chips it to cover from a long hop. Ben Folkes, it wasn't even a slower ball this time. He gets out in the same way he got out in Vizag, where he's early on a kind of check drive off a seamer and kind of his balance is off and he chips it to mid on. Ben Stokes's wicket, I was the one where I went, I don't understand where the end point of that was. So Root, it was very obvious. He's trying to get it over the slip cordon. Stokes, they had long on for Jadeja, quite wide, and he's gone to sweep. He swept as soon as he's seen it's kind of missing the stump, it's wide. If it's wide of the stumps, he's having to reach for it. And if you're having to reach for it, you're only going to be able to get it straight. The straighter it is, the more you can turn on it and get it to square. I hope that makes sense, or that's clear even. I think the ball has either skidded on from Jadeja or he was expecting it to turn, because where he's ended up hitting it, he was going to have to sweep it over long on for that shot to work. That was the one where I went, well, hang on, lads, like, what are we doing here? That was the one shot where I went, that didn't make sense to me. And granted, I'm a fucking idiot and I'm a shit cricketer, so who am I to say whatever? But with the other stuff, I was either seeing like a mis-execution in a moment of disaster, like Duckett, like Folkes, or I was seeing good process, bad execution, or a thought through process, bad execution in Root. With Stokes was the one where I went, bad execution, what's the thought process? It was, add it all together, I'm not giving England the excuse of it's a series of isolated events. That's not the case. They've lost 8 for 95. They've thrown away a position, a very strong position. It's bad, especially in the context of it's potentially going to lose them a series when, if India go on to win this match, Bumrah rests up next week, Anderson and Wood are completely cooked from bowling every single day. They turn out a shit heap and they win 3-1. The series is over. It's a disaster. It's the hour of disaster that every touring side of India tried to avoid for as long as possible. But yeah, I wouldn't necessarily have the source of my river collapse as Joe Root.
Yeah, there are some collapses that are more important than others. There are some sessions, some days. This has felt so integral to the whole thing. So, yeah, I think you and I just come at this at different from a different perspective. I see your point about pressing home the advantage and ratcheting up the pressure on India at the start of the day. I reckon sometimes when you're ahead of the game, that's the point to settle things down and absorb a little bit of pressure. And look, England can do that, and they choose to do that. You mentioned Stokes' dismissal. What's missed in the collapse? He and Folkes batted for 11 overs together before lunch at a strike rate of roughly 50-odd. They were doing the, right, let's scale it all back after Duckett fell to the half tracker, which you know you can kind of forgive him when he's made 153 out of 319 and batted as well as he did yesterday. But nevertheless, it played a role in all of this today. And then the Bairstow dismissal where he was completely done all ends up by Kuldeep Yadav. He wasn't in the same postcode as that ball. And if there is going to be a spinning track next week, you could start having a conversation about the suitability of Bairstow in the side at the moment, it feels like, because he is so hit and miss against India in India that there might be a different decision to be made there, although that's sort of preempting a conversation for after the test, I suppose. We'll rattle off 100 in the second dig now that I've even said that. But yeah, Stokes and Folkes, they are the guys for the patch-up job because we know that Stokes can bat long and pick the right moment to pull the trigger. And I think what you've pointed out there is correct as well. They've got those two men back at wide-ish mid-wicket and straight-ish long on as catching men, right? They are there knowing that Stokes likes to hit with the spin and waiting for the moment when he can't when he can't resist, I suppose is the right word there any longer. So that's what made that dismissal look all the worse. And yeah, maybe there was a slight bit of pace taken off for the Folkes dismissal. Siraj, I just love the way Siraj gets into a contest. You know, having Ashwin out, needing to use that second seamer more. You touched on poor old Mukesh earlier. Well, Siraj is normally the spare parts man in India, barely required as the second seamer when Bumrah's there. Ashwin, Jadeja, often Akshar Patel as well. Kuldeep Yadav's always going to bowl a lot of overs when he's in the test side. Well, suddenly Siraj is needed and he picks up four wickets and he bowls quickly and he loves that. We saw him at Lord's a couple of years ago when they needed to bowl out England in two sessions. Siraj was the man of the moment along with Bumrah. We saw the way he bowled famously at the Gabba in only his third test match a few years ago, leading that attack to a most extraordinary victory on the final day of the series. When the going gets tough, you want Siraj in the side. So I wasn't surprised at all when he picked up four, including a couple of beautiful deliveries that hit the stumps. And the one to Anderson reminded me a little bit of the ball that bowled him at Lord's to finish off that test at Lord's in 2021. But yeah, when you bundle it all up and you look at it and you step back from the whole thing, and then Ben Duckett is the man put up for media, like he was after that collapse at Lord's last June and July. And Duckett's response was, well, Rudy's a freak. That's the same to me as him playing a drive. I'm sure that people weren't saying that when he hit Cummins for six. And I get he's got to defend his mate, right? I understand all of that. But it's fundamentally not, right? It's not the same as implying a cover drive. I know he's a brilliant reverse scooper, but that is a premeditated shot. It's not the same as him playing a stroke to cover. That is different, right? So because that's not as premeditated. You can't put the two things alongside each other. So there was some contrition after Lord's last year, even if they didn't say it, and they were more successful in the second half of that series. The problem for England is that they won't have as much control over the situation as they did during the summer. It's only going to get harder from here.
Yeah, look, I'll be interested to know if I change my opinion on this over time. I don't think of my kind of defending Joe Root here as the hill I'm going to die on. But in terms of the premeditated thing, we're playing a series here where a lad, Ben Duckett, who's up for media, has just got 150 by reverse sweeping all the time. Like, we can't praise the reverse sweep on one hand and think that how amazing it is that England are premeditating and guessing and kind of getting ahead of the game, and then when it doesn't work, off a seamer rather than a spinner, like throw the toys out of the pram, basically. Same way you could go. I don't think Stokes was necessarily premeditated, but you could argue maybe Zach Crawley's sweep was premeditated. It's just a different shot, but the same kind of process of premeditation. I tell you who did end up reverse sweeping quite well. Jaiswal started nailing them when he decided to whack it everywhere.
Yeah, Jaiswal. Yeah, that's kind of the second piece to this, isn't it? That after getting bowled out. You know, and Jaiswal was, what was he, 20 off 53 balls, something like that? Like, he made a decision to lay a foundation. I thought that was a brilliantly timed century from him, and I think his celebration will get a Guernsey in the Hall of Fame in a little bit. But, yeah, when they had the chance to turn the screws, India's happy place is four and over. You know, when India are batting at four and over, they are clicking, and that's roughly what their innings has been so far there. As I look at my screen in front of me, they're 196 for two after 51 overs. Yeah, so pretty much bang on four and over from here with Jaiswal. 104, not out, retired, hurt for the time being. 9 fours and 5 sixes, but they all came after he was well and truly set. So credit for Jaiswal for having the ability to pace in innings. Joe Root had Rohit Sharma out leg before from round the wicket. Interesting, you could see the off stump with the ball pitched. I'm pretty sure it Vizag, if you were bowling from that side of the wicket and you could see the stump, then it couldn't possibly be lining up with leg stump, or it was a conspiracy with DRS, I'm not sure, whatever.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
And then remember that, and Rajat Patida for the second time in a test match gets out in comical fashion. I feel for the guy having to wait so long for an opportunity for India, coming in as a mature 30-year-old, getting the chance before Sarfraz Khan, but twice in the match caught in the ring from the bowling of Tom Hartley from effectively half trackers. So it does leave a crack of light for England if you want to be super optimistic that if they have a great first hour tomorrow, they could be chasing 400 odd, and we know they backed themselves last week, but this doesn't have the same energy as that in all three test matches so far in the series, Cam. They've conceded leads of over 100.
Adam, there's no crack of light. It's pitch black. Like, it's done. There's no, I'm not going to fall into this trap again. Jaiswal, I tell you what, I absolutely loved watching him today. He was 35 off 78, I think it was. And you can pick your numbers in wherever you want to do your checkpoints of the innings.
Yep.
But from 35 off 78, I think he scored 44 off his next 18 balls. And my thought process when it was him and Gill kind of going along very slowly, I was kind of thinking about how it was like when the protagonist in a film is taking too long to kind of kill their victim, and then I was like, oh my god, is this when the twist is going to happen and England are going to escape? And then like Jaiswal just shot England in the face like 20 times. I was like, oh no, it's dead, it's over, like this match is finished. What's going to be the next storyline, basically? His wrists are just phenomenal. I was actually talking to one of the players after the Hyderabad test, no, Vizag test, and it was a nice moment where like a player spoke like a fan, and he was like, fuck it, like just as soon as he gets full, he just absolutely belts it. And I was like, that's what I say, that's what I think as well when I was watching this match. And he was doing it when he was sweeping, I think it was Hartley maybe, or he was sweeping the spinners, and you'd see his wrists come through the ball so late, and he'd hit the ball square. He wouldn't like follow it, he'd connect with the ball. Keep on saying that. His celebrations, I feel like you can't do that and then retire hurt because you're tired like and cramping like 2 minutes later. Your last energy reserves have been spent on kind of gloves off, kind of Jude Bellingham-ing it. There you go.
That might be the appropriate time, Cam, for us to move to the final word Hall of Fame.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Final word Hall of Fame brought to you by Westfield London and Westfield Stratford City as I scan down the page. What have we got today? Titch Freeman, Bhagwat Chandrasekara, Tom Hartley, Baby John Burgess. What do these four people have in common? I know one thing about Baby John Burgess that won't necessarily be relevant to this, although Who knows what Tom Hartley's packing. They all love spinning and winning. Head into Westfield London or Westfield Stratford City, scan the QR code to play, and you could win free food and free drinks from Greg's, Cinnabon, Roll Baby, and more. Of course, there's also the grand prize of this year's free bowling at All Star Lanes. Something else that Baby John Burgess loves. Baby John Burgess loves bowling. I didn't know that. Maybe I should have known that. I don't expect you to have a clue what I'm talking about here, Cam. This is an ad that steered more at our Australian listenership. He was the host of Wheel of Fortune for many years, then catchphrase a little bit later on. Prizes are limited, so get in here today to start spinning. What have we got? So that's Google Westfield London, Westfield Stratford City, more extra, less ordinary. And as I say there, scan that code, win food, win drinks. Doesn't get better than that. Cam, you go first. What's your most final word moment of the day?
Oh, we touched on it earlier. It's actually a sad one. It's Patadar getting out. I was pitch side and very near where the players walk off. And when he did it, I actually just felt like really sad. It made me really upset, because you're kind of watching. The first one was kind of funny in the first things. You're like, oh, you can't imagine doing that. But I kind of looked up a bit too late, and so I missed the actual dismissal. And I assumed Ben Stokes had caught it, because he had his face over his hands over his face. And I was kind of like, oh, that's the reaction of someone who's just caught the ball and is kind of like, hee, isn't that funny? I've caught a ball from a full toss. And then I realised it'd been caught on the other side. And so it was just a moment where, like, people were just either kind of trying to hide their laughter that a batter had got out that way. And that's bad enough if you do it in front of zero people in the park or when you're playing in the fives or whatever, but to do it when you're in test cricket with your chance after a decade of piling on runs in domestic cricket, will he ever play another test match again? I don't know. It made me sad. I was so sad it made me think of the final word. There we go. What a great connection that was.
The obvious final word moment for me was Jaiswal's century celebration causing him to have to retire hurt with Shagger's back. I mean, it's pretty clear that's what happened, right? He was fine. And then he did the David Warner bit. Yeah. He did the Freddie Flintoff bit after that. And then 5 minutes later, his back's crook. Causation, correlation. Well, I'm going with causation on that. So, he goes big when he makes 100, Jaiswal. He's obviously a prodigiously talented cricketer, so there'll be many more of those opportunities over the years. But, bad back after that. Also, Swanee on comms. Swanee divides opinion as a commentator, and that's fine. I suppose that's partly why he gets gigs around the world, because you want people commentating who people have opinions on. But he said at one stage late in the day, gee, it'd be a good time to take a wicket for England here. Next ball, that's when Patadar hit the catch out to Rayan Ahmed. So Swanee got it spot on there, so credit to him for that.
I'm sure we'll have to talk about this on a different day, because it'll take too long. I found myself getting very old, very 1940s when Jaiswal retired hurt for cramp. In my head I was like, don't let him back. Why is that allowed? Like, oh, you're tired? Okay, done. You're out. Finished. Fuck off. And I was like, it came out of me. I don't really know what that happened. Because I started Googling the laws, and I was like, you know this is fine. Like, you know that players are allowed to do this. Why is this one in particular kind of spikes your interest? I thought it was an unusual quirk. That it's also quite embarrassing. Like, if someone scores so many runs against you that they physically cannot bat anymore, that's an amazing moment for Jaiswal. What a player. I hope he comes back, because I want to watch him play more.
And the quirk that you pointed out on Twitter, that India aren't permitted to replace Ashwin in those circumstances. And again, like, Ash is a great guy and an interesting guy, and someone we've always had a strong interest in the final word. Whenever we've had the chance to sort of talk to him in the margins of press conferences, I know he has listened to the show in the past. I hope that whatever's going on in his personal life right now with his family, I think it's been tweeted out that his mum's crook, isn't it? That things get better as quickly as possible, and he's back in the series as soon as possible as well. Okay, a busy day, Cam. There's going to be ongoing debate about the suitability of this mode of play for England. I'm sure that'll continue online in the comments and so on. If you like what we're doing and you want to be part of it on there, Discord is the place. Get into that via our Patreon account, patreon.com/thefinalword. Our show's brought to you by Westfield London and Westfield Stratford City. More extra, less ordinary. Cam, enjoy your night. It's Vish's birthday as well, so I'm sure you guys have got something planned for that.
Indeed.
And we'll do it all again on day four with England resuming, or should I say India resuming, 322 runs in the play. Good night. Question my current senses. That'd be the same we've been doing for centuries. Sorry if I ran out to empty, wrote this so you know what I meant here. I had to go.